Good morning to everyone. Today is the feast of Christ the King. Reading from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Colossians. Brethren, giving thanks to God the Father, who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For in him were all things created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominations or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and in him. And he is before all, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may hold the primacy, because in him it hath well pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell, and through him to reconcile all things unto himself, making peace through the blood of his cross, both as to the things that are on earth and the things that are in heaven, in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's for the epistle. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. At that time, Pilate said to Jesus, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or have others told it thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee up to me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would certainly strive that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now my kingdom is not from hence." Pilate therefore said to him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. For this was I born, and for this came I into the world, that I should give testimony to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." As for the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Come, Holy Ghost. Dear faithful, when Jesus Christ was accused by the chief priest and the Pharisees before Pontius Pilate, they accused him of being king as though he was opposed to the Caesar, who was the king of his time in the place, the Roman emperor. And Pilate took Jesus aside indoors. The Jews would not enter because it was the evening before the great Sabbath day, the Passover. And if they entered the court of the king, who was a Gentile, they would incur ritual impurity and they could not eat the Passover. So they did not go inside, but Jesus was taken inside by Pilate and questioned. And so Pilate asks Jesus, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And Jesus does not answer him immediately, but asks him, "Do you say this thing of yourself, of your own, or because others have said it?" He's trying to see what Pilate thinks. It was like saying to him, "What do you think, Pilate?" And Pontius Pilate did not answer him directly, but apparently his answer indicates that he did not acknowledge him as a king, because he said, "Am I a Jew? How should I know? I'm not a Jew." The Jews should know whether they have their who's their king. And so Jesus explains about his kingdom. He says, "My kingdom is not of this world." Now, going back to the question that Pilate was asked, Jesus said, "Do you say this of yourself, or as others told me?" Jesus was trying to find out what Pilate thought. Basically, it was like asking him, "Am I your king?" The Jews who turned him over, although they accused him of setting himself up as a king, they did not accept him as their king. You know that the Jews today, but those that follow the lead of this chief priest and of the Pharisees, they refuse not only that he is a king, but they refuse also that he is the Messiah. They say that Jesus is not the Messiah. That is the party line of the Jewish leadership these days, ever since they put him before Pontius Pilate. And so Jesus was asking Pilate, who was a Gentile, basically, "Do you want me for your king?" The Jews are refusing it. "Do you want it?" And he was speaking to a Gentile and a ruler at that. We need to look at this and ask ourselves, do I make Jesus my king? Is he a king who rules over me? Or do I follow the suit of Pilate? It basically says, "How should I know?" Or of the Jews who say, "No, he is not our king." A Catholic, if he is truly Catholic, he must not only accept Jesus for his own king, but grant him that he is the king of all creatures, of all the universe, whether they be men or angels. When a earthly king, an earthly king, rules over his country, we see in the United States, we're indoctrinated by the principles of Freemasonry: liberty, equality, fraternity. Those are the Freemasonic buzzwords. But they have their own kind of liberty. They want to be free from anyone ruling over them. And in fact, one of the famous quotes of one of our founding fathers was, "Here," meaning in the United States, "here the people rule." Hogwash. "Here the manipulators rule." Just like anywhere else. Those who have the means and the desire and the drive to rule others will do it, in spite of the political system that's in place. They will say, "Well, you voted, right?" You might say to them, "Yeah, I voted, but look at the candidates that were presented. What kind of a choice is that? Bad and Mr. Bad and Mr. Worse, right? What do I do?" So you rule? The hell you do. No, you don't. And you never will. until Jesus Christ is your King. For to serve Christ is to reign with Him. And this false doctrine of the Freemasons of liberty, equality, and fraternity, the equality, there is no equality between two people. Everyone has different size and shape and powers and gifts and backgrounds and family. We're not completely equal. There are certain things that are the same about every one of us. We're all human beings. We all have the opportunity of saving our souls. That's all true. But other than that, not much is equal. Fraternity, brotherhood, the third buzzword of the Freemasons. They say that all men are brethren. They call each other brothers. You know, just like the Protestants in their evangelical churches, brother so-and-so, brother so-and-so, brother so-and-so. There is a certain brotherhood between all men. That's true. Because we're all children of Adam. And we're all meant to be, in the right kind of sense, brothers with Christ. But what is the Freemasonic brotherhood? It is quite different. Their brotherhood means that all of them who are sworn to secrecy and oaths will help each other to whatever extent they can, but of course it doesn't always work out that way among the Freemasons. Whenever one of them is in trouble, the others come to their assistance. Well, for better or for worse, they do it when they see that it's to their advantage. But the head fupa of the Freemasons very easily says, "Not you." And you're excluded, even if you've been a faithful member for years. Because it's run by the devil, finally. So these Freemasonic errors are erroneous. They are wrong. And therefore they have no right. Only the truth has rights. In this day and age, our whole system is built on tolerance, that we don't say anything bad about something that's bad because we're supposed to tolerate it. In a certain sense, there's a certain amount of toleration necessary, but not for lies and for errors and for sin. When it's deliberate and it's clear, the person is deliberately wrong. So, Christ the King, then, He is meant to first of all reign over each individual. And that is our part. Each one of us can do that part. How is it that we are to make Christ our King and rule over me in particular, or each one of us? The first thing is to acknowledge Him as your King and say, with all conviction, Jesus Christ is my King, and I will serve and obey Him. The Freemasons don't want you to have any king. They say that for them, a king equals a tyrant. A tyrant is someone who abuses his authority. There are tyrants, and some kings have been tyrants, that's for sure. But he's not a tyrant because he's a king. He could be a president and be a tyrant. Just abuse your authority. You can be a father in a family and be a tyrant by abusing your authority. You can be a mother in a family and be a tyrant. Anyone with any authority, if he abuses it, that's tyranny. If we make the proper use of our authority, that is not tyranny, and that is good. We ought to use the authority that we have in the right way for the purpose which it was given to us, to accomplish the goals that God has set before you to accomplish, your duties especially, and then the salvation of yourself and your neighbor. So in order to make the first step, we have to accept the good Lord and make it a principle of our life that Christ is each one of us. He is my King. I take Him for my King, and that is who I will serve and obey and honor. And so that's what we do first. Make it a principle. And then when you do things and make decisions, you always reflect upon your relationship with Christ. He is my King. I'm going to plan on doing something here. Well, what will that mean with regard to my service to Him? And we'll make the right decisions then. Because we realize that something that would dishonor Christ or be less honorable to Him than it should be would be a mistake, and we will stop and do the opposite instead and do the right thing. Then, secondarily, with our families. Every one of us, if we're not some kind of an orphan or something like that, we have a family, and our family has to accept the King, Jesus, as King of our family. It's a good idea to ask that you have your home enthroned to the Sacred Heart, because by doing this, you call on Jesus to be the King of your home and your family, and you take special steps to honor Him and His kingship over your family. And, of course, this is the initiative should be taken by the head of the household, which should be the husband, right? If it's not the husband, there's something a little awkward about the household. It ought to be the husband who's in charge and who's the head. Now, he should decide, okay, I will want to do this devotion, and ask the padre to come and prepare himself beforehand for the enthronement of the Sacred Heart in his throne, in his house. And you put a special throne in the house where you have a picture or a statue, the best you can get, to honor Christ as King of the house. And there are special devotions that you keep to keep that devotion alive with your daily prayers and the family rosary and the family prayers. Every day, the thing is renewed in a little way each day. And then in the little throne, the throne that's in a big place, an important place in the house, is a place to go and pray when there's trouble coming up. You go before that. Just like if your house had a sanctuary like this one in it, and you realize there's trouble, you say, let me go and talk to the Lord about it, right? And you would go before that throne that's in your own house, where you have a picture or a statue of the Sacred Heart, and there, with a certain sense of God's presence, because you did enthrone your house to the Sacred Heart, you will come before the King and ask Him to help you to cope with what you have to cope with in the right way, and to help you to work through whatever problems you face in such a way that there are the best results. And then finally, after the families, communities, cities, states, countries. But it starts here. If you will not keep the Ten Commandments of our King, if you will not honor Him by your participation in the Catholic life of all levels that are pertinent to you, if you will not speak well of Jesus Christ, how do you expect the world to do it? How will the rest of the world honor Him as King? And how will we look ourselves in the mirror when we say in the Our Father, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If that's one of our petitions in the Lord's Prayer, called so because when the apostles asked Jesus, teach us to pray, He taught them that prayer. And those are the things, there are seven petitions in that prayer, the Our Father. And when we say to the Father, we address Him, Our Father, we say, Thy kingdom come. And the next petition explains what we mean when we say to Him, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, let the inhabitants of the earth, including and especially myself, obey the will of God just like they're doing in heaven. The kingdom of heaven, everything is according to God's will there. Nobody disobeys Him. We're asking that that kind of kingdom come to earth. We're asking that on earth, starting with me, we really take God as our King, and we really serve and obey Him like the saints and angels who are in heaven do. That's what we're asking for. And we start with our own hearts and souls, our own wicked hearts. We de-wickedize them. Turn away from temptation. Refuse to commit sin. And say to the Lord, Lord, take these dumb temptations away. Every temptation is utterly stupid, even though it looks good at first, right? The devil presents them so that it looks nice. He doesn't show you the rest of the story, which is ugly. And so, we say to the Lord, Jesus, take these stupid temptations away. They must come from the devil or from my wicked heart or something wrong. And give me heaven instead. I would rather go to heaven. And then the kingdom of God is coming to the world in you. And more of us doing that, if everybody here does that, it's going to be a huge change for the whole world. For the better. Because you were better. And the kingdom of God begins to come to the earth. You might say to me, but Father, it'll never happen. You'll never get everybody in the world to change their hearts and be good and obey God and take Him for their King. Maybe not. But if not, if it doesn't happen, don't let it be your fault that it didn't happen. You might be the last holdout. You make sure you're doing your part. So don't give up because other people won't make it. You know that not everybody's going to heaven. But most people go to hell. Don't you be one of them. You take Christ for your King now very seriously. And learn His commandments. And choose what He wants you to choose. And your choices, the will of God, will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask the Blessed Mother, who, because of her exemption from original sin, did not have the temptations that we have. She was immaculately conceived, and she didn't commit any personal sins. And so she was completely pure all of her existence from sin. And she knows that that's a tremendous advantage that we don't have. God gave it to her. And so she's very compassionate with us who are sinners. She's perfectly ready to help you to submit your hearts to the kingship of Jesus Christ, her Son, who is also the Son of God. And she will encourage you and strengthen you like a good mother and teach you. So be near to your mother and call on her name. Call the name of Mary out loud when you need help to keep Christ your true King. And we'll honor Him in a great procession after the Mass. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.